Yarny mingled with the congregation of the Good Life Ministry, which was one of her many obligations as First Lady of the Church. As she looked around at the lavish decor, her heart started to melt. This church was her husband's vision, and if she hadn't known any better, it was something that God had bestowed upon Des. The transformation from super grocery store to mega church was spectacular. Everything about the place was nothing less than first class, and Des had spared no expense bringing his vision to life. The stained glass windows were imported from Europe, while the handcrafted padded pews were adorned with intricately carved arms and backrests. There were at least 20 80-inch plasma television monitors affixed to the walls throughout the sanctuary to assure everyone the experience of virtual front-row seating. The pulpit was a huge stage fit for a Grammy Award-winning artist. To the lower right of the pulpit is where the church musicians assembled. Yarny was proud of what her husband had built, and she was equally ashamed of the blood money that funded it. For most of his life, her husband, Des, had been a stone-cold hustler. So it didn't amaze Yarny when 3.5 years ago, he came up with the idea to create the Good Life Ministry as a means to make and launder money. He had realized that the dope game was becoming a game for suckers. Des was sure he had it all figured out. Churches didn't have to pay taxes, and there was no way to monitor how much money they took in. People were lost and confused and needed answers about why things in the world and their communities were as messed up as they were. Once Des witnessed an ordained, Bible-toting pastor pimp the pulpit at his nephew's funeral, he was convinced that the church game wasn't difficult. All one needed was a fresh pair of gaiters, a few scriptures under their belt, and a hell of a talk game. Well, Des had two of the three on lockdown, and learning the Bible inside and out didn't take him long at all. In the beginning, Yarny didn't approve and was furious about Des making a mockery of people's faith, but she eventually realized her opinion wasn't going to change his mind. So she repented every day for her husband's sins and made Des promise to do good by the church if he insisted on going through with his unholy plan. As always, he exceeded her expectations. He took the devil's money and shared it with God's people, becoming a blessing to all those in need. He paid bills for those who had gotten behind, bought air conditioners for the elderly in the summer, school supplies for the kids, made Thanksgiving and Christmas jump off for the less fortunate, sponsored summer trips for the kids, donated trucks of food, and offered 24-hour childcare for working mothers. On top of all that, he even built housing for the homeless. His example of giving was outstanding, and his rapidly growing congregation respected and loved him for his contributions to the underdog. He made the Good Life Ministry a necessity, a movement, where they took care of their own and the neighborhood. The ex-junkies and drug dealers could relate to him. They understood, adored, and cheered him on. They weren't fooled into believing he was a reborn saint, nor did he ever try to swindle them into thinking that. He had simply shared his past, his testimony, with the people. Just in case anybody tried to dig up unturned dirt on him, he'd practically handed them the shovel. The fewer secrets a man has, the less likely a chance of those secrets being revealed. Des was the first to admit he wasn't an angel who had fallen down from heaven. But what made him stand out from other preachers was that he was giving at a time when everyone else seemed to be taking. That made him a savior in his sheep's eyes. A third of the congregation was made up of older members. The elderly people had joined Des's church because it reminded them of the old days when a neighborhood church actually stood for something. Most new churches seemed to start out in the hood, but as soon as the going got good, they started a building fund to move the church as far away as they could. Des had no intentions of uprooting his ministry. The hood was where it was at.